Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Before I get into the meat of the show, I want to first thank you all for coming in and rating the show yesterday. I asked in yesterday's podcast, and many of you did, and some of you even went over to At Work, the podcast on At Work with God, and we doubled our downloads yesterday, and I'm so thankful for that because you did it. And so we're going to keep asking, or let me put it this way, we're going to remind you that that show is there, and we're going to be asking and reminding you to go ahead and rate it and let us know what you think of the show. I'm going to reward you with a great guest. Today's guest is one of our friends at Charisma. He writes for us. He's a regular. He's got a new book out. We've promoted it just a little bit in another show, but we're going to go deep into a discussion of Jezebel's war with America. Now, you know the spirit of Jezebel, and you'll recognize it when you hear Dr. Michael Brown speak of it. He's one of our favorite authors here at Charisma. He gets a lot of attention. His articles get downloaded very heavily. But he's going to reveal a lot about this plot to destroy our country and what we can do to turn the tide. And that's my favorite part of what can be done to attack what's attacking us, or at least to be very aware of it and to take action. And I think you're going to hear that from Dr. Michael Brown. He's very learned, very authoritative. This is not some hooey. This is good writing. This is something that when you read this book, you're going to say, yes, I see it. That's right. That's right. That's going on right now in America. That's the spirit of Jezebel. And here's Dr. Michael Brown. So welcome back, Dr. Brown. It's great to be talking with you again. How have you been?
Great, man. We're making a habit of this.
Yes, we are, and I like this habit. Some of my habits I try to break, but I don't want to break this habit.
No, hey, it's always nice to have a friendly conversation and in the process speak to a whole bunch of people.
Yes. Well, we're probably talking about 25 to 35,000 people just for your podcast, just people who hear this. We're running between 125 and 150,000 people who listen to Green Lines every month. And I sure thank you for your great content that draws people to us.
Awesome. Well, obviously, you're doing a good job yourself, man.
I just stay out of the way, sir.
And look, with names like Green and Brown, it's colorful. It reaches everybody.
We need a couple of whites and blacks and purples just to add to the rainbow, right?
You know, I debated a rabbi one time in Florida.
Yes.
And his name was Rabbi Silver.
Oh,
and
no.
Then the next debate was Rabbi Gold. Seriously.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I was looking for Rabbi Platinum or Rabbi Diamond, but we never found them. So it's just Silver and Gold.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good show. So today we're going to talk about your book specifically. Our last podcast, we started there, but we got into a really good discussion and saved the book for today. So as we speak about your book, Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. I'm really interested in that last part of that subhead, what we can do to turn the tide. But before we get there, I want you to tell me, we have so many articles on Charisma News about Jezebel. She gets into about every headline. And every seems like when we put her in headlines, we get a lot of traction on those stories. What is it about Jezebel that makes people want to study her?
It's really interesting. And I've got to be totally honest, it caught me a bit off guard. Mm-hmm. In terms of how intense the interest was, just when I would share that, you know, I've got a book coming out and I would give the title, I remember giving the title, I was speaking at an apologetics event, so defending the faith, and then did a little meeting as a courtesy for the organizers. And it was a very traditional meeting. It was a very non-charismatic meeting. It mm-hmm. was different than some of the settings that I would normally be in. And when I said, yeah, I've got this book, Jezebel's War with America, it was like, ooh. And I thought, in this crowd? That's so interesting.
It is.
Honestly, we've never had, the book's hot off the press now,
yes.
But we had more pre-orders for this book than any book I've written. And I've written over 35 books now.
Mm-hmm.
And a colleague of mine that's worked with me for, over 25 years, he said, Mike, that's the best title of any of your books. I thought,
why?
Is it? So there's something about this Jezebelic spirit. I know we can go on witch hunts, and mm-hmm. you start calling everybody Jezebel, and the moment you have, you know, maybe a strong woman in your church who's anointed, you have an insecure pastor, and he calls her Jezebel. You know, everybody's Jezebel. We can go crazy with it, but the bottom line is this. Really, really, really simple. that we see Jezebel in the Bible, and we recognize that this woman was demonically empowered, mm-hmm. that she was an intimidating demonic force in Israel that helped bring about the destruction of the nation and the murder of many fine people. And we recognize that the same demonic spirits, I don't mean they have to be the identical spirits, but the same type of demonic spirits, the same strongholds that operated through ancient Queen Jezebel are operating again today. And the moment you expose it, the moment you put your finger on it, it's like, aha, aha. We're actually hearing from a number of people that said, I've never done this. But I read the book through the first day I got it. I've never done that with any book. I couldn't put it down. So there's something that people get in grip with, but it's not because I've got this amazing book. It's because I'm speaking to them and they're saying, yes, 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 you're onto something.
Right. Well, you've been on a lot of shows already. The book's been out for just a tad, but you've had a really good trip already. You visit a lot of our better talk shows. And you're hearing it from every host that this book lights their show on fire.
Yeah, and some have asked me, you know, can I keep coming on? There's one, it's just a conservative talk show somewhere mm-hmm. in the Northeast. You know, he's a news talk guy. It's not a Christian show. He's probably had me on four times before the book came out, now since the book came out, because stuff happening in the news is mm-hmm. relevant. You know, we're talking about something spiritual, but what we're sensing, what we're understanding is unfolding in the world
that's
around
right.
us. And that's what gets people's attention. You know, the more extreme the pro-abortion people get, and the more they join radical feminism with witchcraft and things, is that Jezebel or what?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
it's not hard to connect the dots, and that's what's so striking. And I want to just say one other thing in total candor for your listeners. I often write with great passion and intensity.
Yes.
And I get gripped, and I kind of get on a roll. And it's almost like a roller coaster thing. You start heading down and you have a lot of momentum. So many of my books, let's say it's a 350-page book, and I can kind of track, I was writing it over a 6-month period or a 1-year period. The great bulk gets written in a fairly short period towards the end as I approach deadline. So I'm used to that. But with this book, probably 70% of the core of the book was written in an intensive 6-day period, where no sooner would I finish one chapter or the core of the chapter, I'd be on to the next, and it's now time to go to sleep, and I can't, and I'm writing again, and I'm writing again, and then I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm writing, and, mm-hmm. and it's all carefully documented, and the Charisma team did an amazing job, fact-checked every single citation, and I go back and read it, and it's almost like I'm reading someone else's book because
yes.
there's so much in it
that
was put together in such an intense period of time that it's almost revelation to me to read it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a bone to pick with you before I let you go further. You've been on somebody else's show four times. You know, I am a jealous show host.
It's only a 10-minute slot.
Okay. I guess
all
I
right,
can let
so
it pass.
Balances out. It
I
balances
want more,
out.
Brother. I just want more of you.
All
so
right.
I want to probe more into Jezebel because I really want our audience to understand, and you can speak eloquently about this and have, that define for us what this spirit is. I know the story, and you may want to share that. Do anything you can to help us. We like to label things. If we're having a bad day, we want to label it as spiritual attack or that this is happening or that's happening. It gives us peace to label it. But we've got to go deeper than that to understand this spiritual symbol that she's become. Would you speak to that?
Sometimes non-charismatics don't recognize the devil at all, and
yeah.
then charismatics find everything as the devil. Yeah. I think I'm being attacked by a spirit of tiredness. No, you just went to sleep too late. But
yes.
So in the Bible, Jezebel is mentioned in Old Testament and New. So she lives about 3,000 years ago, and it's about 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. She's a pagan princess. She marries the ungodly king of Israel, Ahab. She is a passionate idol worshiper with hundreds of prophets to Baal and to Asherah. She kills the true prophets. She drives her husband into deeper idolatry. She emasculates him. She intimidates the living prophets so that they live in fear, hiding in caves. She's also associated with sexual immorality and with sorcery. That's in 2 Kings 9. Mm-hmm. And she's so powerful that at one point she even gets the mighty prophet Elijah running for his life. Then 1,000 years later, Jezebel references a woman who calls herself a prophetess, gives her the name Jezebel. It could be her actual name, but it's more likely that's just what Jesus is calling her. And she is also associated with seducing God's servants into sexual immorality and idolatry. So we ask, okay, what are the common elements here? What kind of demonic forces operated through this woman, and how can we spot them? So we look today for the same things. Seduction and sexual immorality, like we've never seen it before, mm-hmm. with porn and the internet. No generation's ever had to deal with it on this level. Then idolatry, a yes. nation turning away from the one true God to created things. We also know that in the ancient world, when you had idolatry, you had baby sacrifice. And we do know that Jezebel was a murderer. It was. She killed the prophet. She had blood on her hands. So we look at the spirit of baby killing. And when we talk about this, Steve, we're not just talking about, say, a 12-year-old girl who got raped by her uncle, and she's terrified to tell her parents, and should she have an abortion? We're not talking about a situation like that. We're talking about grown women making their own choices and then shouting their abortion proudly, or pounding on the doors of the Supreme Court for their, quote, right to abort their babies, or even defending infanticide. So the militant spirit of baby killing, the rise of radical feminism, which has exploded off the charts since President Trump has come into power. And with that, many of these radical feminists say it's time to go full witch. It's time to get scared. That's an actual quote from a women's march. So you have the radical feminist movement. You have the rise of witchcraft, according to numerous headlines, which I document in Jezebel's War with America. There are more witches in America today than there are Presbyterians. You have the war on gender, which is part of radical feminism, turning women into men and men into women. For a man to be a godly man these days, it's toxic masculinity. So you have the emasculating of men. It happens through the media. It happens in other ways. The silencing of the prophetic voice so that people are afraid to speak up for fear of consequences. You put all this together, and it's pretty simple. Jezebel is at work again today. No, not the same woman. And not the ghost of Jezebel, but the same demonic forces, or this prince, if it's a principality called Jezebel, we're up against it nationally in America today.
It's a familiar spirit, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been there and done that.
Yes. Well, I want to get into the core of your book and where I would imagine your greatest flow came from, and that's when you label it a war with America. Why do you think America is being selected for this war?
Well, look, the devil has many, many different weapons. And the devil looks for the right moment to come in. You know, it's like a boxer. And you know, they say kill the body and the head dies. You know, you hit one place and then you weaken them and then you go for another place. So the devil has different strategies all around the world. And he's trying to destroy all the time as many people as he can. That's just his nature. That's just what he does. So as things have come together in a unique way in America, with the sexual revolution of the 60s, with the rebellion of the 60s and the seeds that were sown, and then what unfolds in the generations after that, it's almost like we were ripe for this. And it all comes together. Say homosexual activism hits from one angle and transgender activism from another angle. And the exporting and the multiplying of sexual immorality hits from another angle, and the attack on the family, divorce and breakdown of the family and fatherless homes hits from another angle. It's kind of a perfect storm. Mm-hmm. And Satan knows the role that America plays and the power of America. And as America goes, so much of the world goes. I just got an email from a friend, though, in Sweden. And he said, I want to look at the manuscript to see if we can get it translated into Swedish, meaning that, yes, America is being targeted in a unique way, but many of the unique things we're dealing with are also being dealt with in other countries around the world, and they too recognize this season of Jezebelic attack.
It's amazing. So I know something about you and about a previous book, and I'm going to try to put them together and ask you to comment, because I know it's in you. You didn't prepare for this, but I know you wrote both books, so it's in you. You wrote a great book on music and understanding the effect of music on our culture, and more than that, how it goes both ways, how it represents the sign of the times. It represents the era that we live in. We can look back at the music of the 60s and do a content analysis and pretty well define what the 60s was like. So let's think about the music of Jezebel's war. What is it? What does it sound like? What do you think is going on in the music industry that'll help us identify the great chant in charge of this war?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. So if we look at all of the alternate spirituality that has come from the 60s and on, because if you think of music, some of the traditional music before the 60s, it wasn't so spiritual. You know, it might be love songs, it might be, you know, social commentary or things like that. Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't as spiritually oriented. So part of the idolatrous mentality is all other spiritual avenues other than the gospel, other than the truth. So that gets put forward in music to this day, that people are looking for some type of spiritual answer, but it's not in the truth of the gospel. Another thing would be the hypersexualization of music. If Jezebel, in fact, is a sexual seductress. So, I mean, it's been around for a long time, but the absolute vulgar nature of some hip-hop lyrics. Or you may have heard a song.
Music too. It's everywhere. It's not, we pick on hip-hop, but it's right there in country music. The core of American music is probably country. If you label it and you listen to some of that stuff, it's right there.
Yeah, and I haven't researched that as much, but could well be. And then if you have the misfortune of turning on some music video, and you think, what in the world is this? And and you can't believe that, you know, obviously little kids are watching this as well. So the sexual seduction of America and the hardening of the heart, that comes through a lot of the music as well. And then with that, there is a lot that really puts forward the LGBT activist agenda, which is part of the war on family foundations and wants to transform our view of men and women. So these would be some of the sounds of the music of Jezebel. I don't know that there's a lot of shout your abortion music right yet. If it is, I'm not aware of it, but that would be something I'd be looking for. That the music would give a voice to the radical feminists even more. And let's remember that one of the music icons of our generation is Madonna, and she is not just famous for her singing and for her seductive ways, but she's famous for being a radical feminist who even expressed her desire to blow up the White House. Yes. That kind of sounds like Jezebel to me.
Yeah, sounds like it very closely. You know, Dr. Brown, we could talk for hours, literally most of the afternoon, about what we see and what's going on. But really, the purpose of this podcast is to give our audience hope, to give them a way forward. And I'd like to focus a little bit of time before we end this podcast, really speaking about what we can do about it, because that's part of what you're writing, how we turn the tide, and what are some of the tools available to us to try to be a difference maker in this war.
Yes, sir. The editor of the book told me that her two favorite chapters were the last two chapters of the book.
Is that Adrian?
Yes, Adrian, who did a terrific job, and then with her fact-checking team. I mean, they were masterful. And she said, you know, as she's giving me comments, second to last chapter, last chapter, her chapters of the book, which is good news, because those are the chapters equipping us. Those are the chapters giving us the how-to. So the second-to-last chapter, How to Defeat Jezebel in Your Personal Life, and then the last chapter, How to Defeat Jezebel on a National Level. And here's where we start. we first recognize this is a spiritual battle. So yes, we're responsible for our actions. We can't say the devil made me do it, but we recognize that ultimately whatever we're fighting has a spiritual component in this Jezebelic war. And we know that Jezebel paralyzes with fear. So we analyze the nature of fear. We analyze how fear is about something bad that is going to happen in the future. And that's the paralyzing part of it. You get on the plane is going down. You're changing a diaper on your baby. Your kid's going to get sick. So it's something is going to happen. And it's paralyzing. It's intimidating. When people have panic attacks, they can't get out of it because it's something is going to go. It's terror. Something's bad is going to happen. So the first thing we do is we teach how to overcome the spirit of fear by the spirit of faith, and to meditate on and take in God's word, God's promises, not to fear because he's with us, until those things become spiritual reality to us. And then in that reality, we can cast fear down. We look at the armor of God in Scripture. And this is one of the things people are most excited about as they read Jezebel's War with America, that we show in Ephesians 6, when the Bible talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and it mentions the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. You know, some people think the helmet of salvation, that's the helmet I put on and reminds me that I'm saved. And I'm not saying there's no truth to that, but when you go to Isaiah 59, you see that metaphorically speaking, this is the same armor God wears. In other words, he's giving us his armor. It'd be like you put on the Superman cape and you can fly and no one can shoot you. We literally put on, metaphorically speaking, the armor that God wears. So the helmet of salvation is a helmet of victory and triumph. We put that on. And then we have to clean house. We have to deal with sin in our own lives. And we give practical guidelines. We give lots of links. If you're struggling with porn, here are websites to go to, here are books to read, here are video series to look at, here are steps you can take so that we clean house. And then something really fascinating, again, as we focus on how to defeat Jezebel in your personal life, it struck me, it was Thanksgiving Eve last year. The rest of the family was busy, my wife Nancy with the girls, getting food ready. The boys were out doing something. So I was totally free, at home, alone, nothing going on. And I put on some headphones, and I put on some joyful worship music. And next thing, I got hit. I mean hit with the joy of the Lord.
Good.
The kind of joy where you want to jump out of your body, where you know you can't jump and dance and spin high enough. You just, everything exploding with joy. So the first overwhelming sense I had was the goodness and love and kindness of God and the mercy he's had on me. And but then the next sense I had was everything's going to be all right. All the promises God's given you, they're going to come to pass. And it struck me, this is the exact opposite of the paralyzing fear.
Yes.
The paralyzing fear that tells you bad is going to happen, wrong is going to happen, problems are going to happen. Now, this is God saying it's all going to be all right, and you can only laugh in celebration at the prospect, at the goodness, at the joy. So it struck me that that's part of defeating Jezebel, that you seal the victory with the joy of the Lord.
Good. So just as we wrap up this show, and we're going to talk about where to get this book again, I'd like you to give us a real strong takeaway, what people will feel like when they read it. That's something I want to hear, what you've heard from others, what it did for them. But more than that, on a personal level, how we can defeat the Jezebel moments in our life. Give specific instruction pastorally to our listeners on how to defeat the spirit of Jezebel in our own lives.
Yeah, so in addition to the things I've just said, it's so important to understand that at the root of Jezebel's power is the lie, that Jezebel will paralyze you with lies, that Jezebel will emasculate you as a man and take away your sense of authority and confidence, that as a woman, she will take away that sense of faith and assurance in the Lord. And fundamentally, when we're dealing with this Jezebelic stronghold, we're dealing with an intimidating lie. So when we expose it, and that's what will happen to readers of the book, they won't be able to put it down. They're flipping page after page with, oh my, no, oh, I can't believe it. I see it. Yeah. There it is. We expose the lie. We take away the power of the lie. It's like pulling the curtain on the Wizard of Oz, and you see it's just this guy, and he's the intimidation is not real. Yeah, these are real powers. I don't just call out Jezebel lightly. I mean, these are real demonic powers, but Satan has been defeated by the cross. Totally. And in Jesus, we are not cowering wimps. We are overcoming warriors. We are conquering warriors. And when we understand that, we can put the enemy under our feet in Jesus' name. And when people finish the book on a personal and national level, there'll be confidence that the tide is turning.
What a promise, and what a one of the greatest promises I've heard for any book that's been written. And I believe that's why it flowed through you so easily and why people are buying it in the droves right now, because it does satisfy that desire to find a way, find an answer to this spirit. So where can we find the book? What's your? I know you've got a website you can share with us.
Yeah, the easiest place is JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com.
Okay.
JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. By the way, for some reason on Amazon, for weeks now, when you go to order, it keeps showing in stock in 1 to 2 months. I have no idea why, because they have the books and they're shipping them out. But it almost makes it like it's harder to get. But they're in bookstores on numerous websites that are all listed on JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. And just a request to our listeners, if the book blesses you, tell a friend and then post a review on Amazon, just because it's well-traveled, and it's a good way to get word out about the book. JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been in several bookstores in the last couple weeks, and I'm seeing your book everywhere. So that means it's selling. When I see a book in multiple stores and the front shelves, the front tables, it's moving. So congratulations, and God bless you. Dr. Brown, keep writing. Keep coming back on our show. I love you. I love your word. And I'm praying that God will continue to show you a way forward to help our country and help all of us personally.
We're going for it, man. Thank you so much. It's a joy to be with you.
You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast with producer Chris. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you all.